cancel because we have tapes here.
No.
Are you putting them on internet?
We'll think about it.
First we'll record it.
Let's not censor if you...
The topic I wanted to discuss over the summer was the issues of Gayrus. Gayrus is a hot topic. Those of you who were in attendance last night at the very important panel will note that one of the rabbis tried to point to Gayrus as one of the issues where the modern Orthodox community is being forced to the right, being strong-armed by the Rabbanut. Unfortunately, the RCA and the YRS Yeshiva are capitulating and going along with this. The major issue that is being discussed now and has been discussed for many, many years is the issue of Gayrus, not Stam Gayrus, but the Gayrus where it is questionable whether the party is being makabel all mitzvahs. This is not something new. The Gemara already has this idea of being megar l'shem ishus, that if somebody's daughter is going out with a guy who's not Jewish, so the family might want to clean it up a little bit, or the person themselves might not be feel comfortable intermarrying, so therefore we go get ourselves a gayrus, perhaps a quickie gayrus, and the person, as we say with men, it's a simple snip and a dip. With the women, it's only the dip. It's much, much easier. And with that, you're good to go. The question is, what about Kabbalah HaMitzvahs? So Rabbi Shechter likes to point out that as we go on, we learn all the halachas of Gayrus from the original Gayrus. The original Gayrus was at Har Sinai. Prior to Har Sinai, nobody was Jewish. Adam Arishon wasn't Jewish. Noach clearly wasn't Jewish. His sons, the Bnei Noach, definitely not Jewish, hence their names, right? Questionable whether Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were Jewish or the Shratim. Discussion in the Parashas Drachim. And even if they were Jewish, they weren't Jewish like we were Jewish, right? If Avraham was Jewish and Sarah was Jewish, well, then Yishmael would be Jewish also. So if they were Jewish, they were Jewish to the extent of themselves. They weren't Jewish in terms of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael doesn't begin until much later. Klal Yisrael begins at Har Sinai. And Har Sinai, we learn out that there was Mila, there was Karban, there was Tvila. And therefore, that's how we do Gayrus. Now, probably most notable about Har Sinai was not the Mila, not the Tvila. Tvila, you need some sort of drush to figure out where everyone went to the mikveh there. Or the Karban, which is no longer in play. But rather, Har Sinai was Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. So one would assume that Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, if we're learning anything from Har Sinai, is very important. The key Gemara that discusses this head-on is the Gemara in Yevamos Chav Dalal Mabez. The Mishnah is talking about HaNitin Al Shifchav Neshachar Ol HaVez Kochav Neskaira HaVezir Ol Yikanes. That if somebody, there is a rumor that a person has been sleeping with a Shifcha, a person has been sleeping with a non-Jewish woman, and then the shifcha goes free and he can now marry her, or the non-Jewish woman is megayer and he can now marry her, they should not get married. However, if they do get married, would they ever let them stay? However, hanitan al eshas ish. However, if first there's a rumor that someone was going out with an eshas ish, and then that woman gets divorced, you're not allowed to marry that woman no matter what. And if you do marry the woman, you have to divorce her as well. The Gemara picks up on a seemingly side point and says, wait a second. It says that if there's a rumor that a person is living with a non-Jewish woman and she's megayer, then I can't marry her. Why can't that person marry her? Because that will be somehow supporting the rumors. However, if this woman goes and is megayer, the assumption is that the gayrus is good. We don't say that if a person is rumored to be have a relationship with a non-Jewish woman and that non-Jewish woman becomes Jewish, he can't marry her because the gayrus is no good, because she was only megayer because of the fact that she wanted to marry this guy. No, the assumption is that the gayrus is good. However, due to rumors, you can't marry her. So the Gemara asks that question. So it says, "Bar gayrus miyahavya." Doesn't it seem that she is a gayrus? Uraminut echad ish shenizgayer l'shum isha ve'echad isha shenizgayer l'shum ish chem ish shenizgayer l'shum shulchan malachim l'shum avdei shlomo einam garim divrei Reb Nechemya. Doesn't Rav Nechemya say that if a man or a woman get converted for the sake of marriage, or for the sake of going up in the government, or somehow having some financial gain, that's not considered gerim? Why? Shaya Rav Nechemya Omer Echad Geri Arayas VeEchad Geri Chalomos VeEchad Geri Is Mordechai VeEsther Einam Gerim. Again, doesn't he see that anybody who is megayer for any reason other than the fact that a person wants to be come close to the Hakadosh Baruch Hu, that's not considered gerim? Has to be for no reason whatsoever. So what's my answer? Idmar Allah Amar Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei the Rav Halacha Kedivrei Amar Kulam Geirimim. The answer is we don't pass him like him. We pass him that if someone is Megayer even for improper purposes, that person is a Ger Gomer. And that's why the Mishnah says what it says. So Yehavi Chachil Nami, so is this a good idea? The Gemara says, should we go, if it works, should we be doing it? Rav Asi says not that way. Why? Hashem Chav Akshus Pev Razus Vosayim. He says, why shouldn't we be doing it? Why can't you do it? Because of Laz. There's a machokas here between Rashi and the Shari Shonim is what is the Laz? Right? The question is, there's a rumor that a person is going out with a non-Jewish woman. Right? Now the woman converts. So we said the conversion is good. So let her marry her. So he said, there, the reason is not Laz. Rashi says, what's the Laz? Rashi said, the Laz is that people are now going to say, ah, see, in fact, it was true. They were living together when she was a shiksa, and now it's the same thing. That's the opinion of Rashi, yes, it's in context. The Rashba, other Rishonim disagree, saying why? Because the Gemara says later on, if the concern is Laz, right, affirming the rumors, and that's the only problem if there was a rumor. However, let's say these two people are sleeping together. Everybody knows about it, they're Edom. Now she converts. Can they get married? So the answer should have been yes. Why? Because this wouldn't be confirming the rumors. The rumors have long been confirmed. It's true. So the Rashba says that's not the laws. And the Rav Rishonim is saying to the Rashba, what's the laws? The laws is that people are going to say, why did she convert? She converted for the sake of Ishus. That her conversion is no good, and now there'll be laws on the children. That there's never any kabbalah mitzvahs. But wait a second. So that leads us back to our question. The Gemara just said beforehand that in fact kulam geirim, that in the event that the people are convert, even for the not best reasons, right? It used to be in the 80s, 70s and 80s, and this isn't as common anymore, but it used to be very common. The Israeli Basketball League had a rule. They can only have two chutznikim on your team. I think the rule applies out of Yom HaZeh. What happens if I have my two chutznikim already and some major player gets arrested for something and he's out of the NBA and he's available to play for Ramat Gan? What do I do? I want to sign this guy. On the other hand, I already have my two chutznikim. So what they used to do is as follows. There was this rabbi in the Midwest, well known, who would do a quickie conversion for you. They converted to Judaism. Once they converted to Judaism, love returned, they can make aliyah. They're not a chutznik anymore, and they're on the basketball team. So the Gemara indicates, well, okay, you know, obviously the purpose of the geirus wasn't the most lofty of purposes, but Lamaisa, the guy underwent the geirus. Shouldn't the geirus be a good geirus? So why are we saying there's going to be laws that'll say she was converted for that reason? Oh, well, she converted for that reason. It's still a good geirus. So what's pshat that? So Tosus here raises an issue, and he basically answers it. And he answers it even stronger in the Tosfos and Chulin, Daf Gimel and Beis. Tosfos goes to the cases of the Kutim. There's a machokas, what is the status of the Kutim? We had Kutim this year in Gittin. The Kutim, they're everywhere. So the Kutim, if those of you who went to traditional yeshivas and don't know Nach, Kutim were people who converted in Malachim, and their conversion was questionable. Right, the pasuk says that on the one hand, they feared God, on the other hand, they kept them being over avodah zarah. Right, so lions came, lions were needed, so you know they converted the ideas because of the lions. The question are they geir tzedek or geir arayos? Arise with an aleph. People get confused about this one. Was it the lions that made him do it or not? So Tosi says, what's the question here? So even if the Geri Arayas, they're still good. Right? Yeah, it might be a historically important question, an interesting question. You know, why were made a guy, or what happened? What led them? Was it on their own? Was that related? Unrelated? But either way, according to the Gemara here that says that Kul and Geri, Bain Geri Tzedek, Bain Geri Arayas, the Kutim should be considered full Jews. So what's the issue? So Tosus explains that no. The discussion in our Gemara here is not whether a person has to be Mekabel Mitzvahs or not. Everybody agrees that you have to be Mekabel Mitzvahs to be a Ger. The question is, what if I Mekabel Mitzvahs for a reason other than wanting to be close to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When we talk about someone who's being Megayer L'Shem Ishus, the person is saying, okay, I want to be Megayer, and therefore, and I want to get married, therefore I'm willing to keep Shabbos, I'm willing to keep Kashrus, I'm willing to, whatever the person wants. On my own, would I have done this? No. Right? But if that's what it takes, you know, if you tell me, you know, that's what I have to do, so that's what I have to do, and I'll do it. So the Gemara says that even that's, though that's not the most wonderful thing, if the person does it, like, converted to Judaism, or the lion's going to eat you. Okay, you know, so we're not going to put them on a pedestal. We may not give them shishi for this. But chach they're Jewish. Chach that once there is a Kabbalah Samitzvah, there's a Kabbalah Samitzvah. Even if it's not Lishma. Mitosh lo Lishma, maybe bo Lishma. Maybe not. Doesn't matter. They're Jewish. However, if the person just says the magic words, you know, yes, I am a Kabbalah Mitzvah, but the person has no intention whatsoever of keeping the mitzvahs, then that person, for sure, the Geris is no good. So the Rishonim, even though they're machokas in how to read the Gemara, Pe Echad agree that when we talk about Kulam Gerimim does not mean anybody we are Modiyahim, the Mexus Kalos V'Chamuras, and anybody who gets the mira and goes into mikveh with the kosher based in is considered Jewish. No, there has to be a true Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. The person has to be Mekabel Mitzvahs, and the person is not Mekabel Mitzvahs if there's no intention of keeping the mitzvahs, so then there's nothing to talk about. There are many Gemaras which seem to support this idea as well. Just one of them which is interesting is the Gemara in Menachos, and Memdalon Amadav tells a famous story that people might know the story from another angle. There was once a fellow who was a great collector. He collected zonas. He tried to sleep with every zona in the whole wide world. Everybody has their nimishagas. This one's a pretty good one. So there was one zona he heard that was far, far away, and he traveled and he paid a large amount of money, and the Gemara explains in great detail what happened. And he was lying next to her, and then and as he was lying there, his tzitzis whipped him in the face. And he is Chozer B'tshuva, and he said, you know, I'm sorry, ma'am, that's it. Some people know about this, the Yesh Kon Olam Moshah Achas type Gemaras. People know about it, the Godless of Tzitzis. What's also important is what happens afterwards in the Gemara. That's not the end of the story. The Gemara goes on and says, the woman took offense. Is something wrong? You know, I'm number one ranked Zona. You don't say no to me. So he said, yeah, it's nothing personal. It's tzitzis, you know. It's it, you know. I have the tzitzis are watching over me, and I realize that this is the wrong thing to do. Really, you're wonderful. Honey, you're the tops, but we're just not going forward with this. So she says, well, I need to know who's your Rebbe. So surprisingly, he gave out the name, which was, I don't know if I'd be as forthcoming if I found myself in that situation. And she went to the Rebbe, and it says that she had to pay off the government, and she went and she says she wants to be Megayer. Shows up in the base measure, said, I'd like to be Megayer. And he says, no, why? Shem or Shem Ishus. How do you need to prove to me that this is for a good reason? And in fact, she approves it to him. Right? Why couldn't she just say, yeah, it is L'Shem Ishus, so do me something. So there seems to be no that we're only going to take a Geiris L'Shem Ishus in the event that there is real Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. However, if we're just going through a ceremony and hoping that will take care of everything, that doesn't work. It's interesting. You can see this, I think, even from Pashas and Sefer Rus. If you look at Sefer Rus has the famous Rashi in the beginning, the little Tumah Lotar, the no halachas in Sefer Rus. However, in Maisa there are many halachas, and two major halachas are discussed. One is obviously chalitza, and the second is geiris. Right? Rus was a geiris, that's why his name was Rus. She picked up 606 extra mixes. Right? We learned the whole discussion between her and Naomi. Naomi says the girl says leave. She says no. So geiris, and the other one is chalitza. The discussion between Boaz and Ploni Almoni, etc. If one steps back and thinks about it, you can't have it both ways. If Rus was a Giyaris, and that discussion with Naomi is her being Megayer, then she wasn't married to Machlon. And if she wasn't married to Machlon, then there couldn't have been any Yibam or Chalitza to talk about. She would not be Zokuk Yobim if she wasn't Jewish, because if she wasn't Jewish, there was no Kedushin with Tovis. If she was Jewish, she cannot be Megayer. I think one thing that all sects of Judaism agree on is that certain people can't be Megayer, and those are Jews. Right? That's a basic rule. I think we could put that up in front of a panel, and everyone would agree that Jews cannot be Megayer. Lavash has a thing that Bali Tshuva jump in the mikveh, but I think even they would have to admit that isn't the Geiris. So how could it be? How could it be? The whole Sefer Rus. Ganson four prakim, and the whole thing doesn't make sense. So what's pshat?
It's also the uncle, no?
What?
It's also the uncle.
Yeah, it's a halbitzar. So, no, it's better than Yehuda. So I think the standard, the answer that I have always felt most comfortable with is the fact is that, no, she was Megayer. That both Rus and Orpah were both Megayer. And they were Megayer, and they married Machlon and Kilion. And at the time, Machlon and Kilion were living high in the hog. They were great catches in the Shidduch. They were princes. They had money. And now things didn't turn out that way. So the question became, well, wait a second. Was there really a Kabbalah HaMitzvahs? And did you want to be, were you Megayer for the sake of Geiris? And that being the case, you still want to be Jewish now? Or no, you're Megayer to get married, and in fact, there never was a real Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. So Naomi went and tested her daughter-in-laws and said, listen, you know, things didn't work out the way we had hoped, and therefore if you want out, you can get out. And Orpah, by saying that, by turning around, made it clear that not only, wasn't that she was a Yisrael Mumar who was walking away, and Naomi couldn't have encouraged it then, but rather it became clear that Orpah was never Jewish. Orpah never had a Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, as opposed to Rus, who lays down the law and says, no, in fact, I am staying. It's clear that she was Jewish in the beginning and she was married. If you don't say that way, if you assume that Geiris without Kabbalah HaMitzvahs is a good Geiris, then you are forced to tell me that Golias was Jewish. Because Orpah had the Geiris without Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, Golias is the son of Orpah. Therefore, we are stuck with the very difficult statement that not only was David Jewish, but so was Goliath.
Jew versus Jew.
Jew versus Jew in the ultimate. Jew versus Jew cage match. And in fact, there are halakha reasons why we can prove that he is not. It's interesting to note that they were mishpacha, though, clearly. Right? Goliath was the great-great uncle of David. So therefore, it is clear that when we talk about the fact that Kul and Gerim Hain only means that in the event that someone was Makabal Mitzvahs, but not Lishma, those are still Gerim. However, if it is clear that that person was not Makabal Mitzvahs, then there is no Geiris here. The question becomes, who are you to decide? You ask the person a question. The person gives an answer. Are you mekabel the mitzvahs? Yes. Are you going to keep all the mitzvahs? Yes. Who are you to decide that his fingers are crossed behind his back or mucking David behind his back, however we do it at this point, right? And he has no intention of doing it. So that issue is raised in the famous tshuva of Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski in the Achiezer, where he has a case. It's interesting that oftentimes you'll find in these tshuvas that saying the person is a guy is a big kula. How so? So for example, Rav Chaim Ozer's tshuva, what was the shayla? The shayla was, there's a guy who got married, now he doesn't want to give his wife a get. There's actually a case of this going on right now in the Beis Din. One of the Ora cases might very well be cleared up by just making the guy into a guy. If you turn around, you say his geirus was never good, so his geirus is no good, the kedushin is no good, and keep your get. We don't need it. So Chaim Ozer raises the issue of dvarim shebelev lo havi dvarim. And we take a person by what they say and not by what they think. Because how do we know what they're thinking? Right? What they say is what matters and not what they think. Rav Chaim Ozer quotes this opinion and takes a very negative approach to it. He makes it clear in the tshuva that a Beis Din cannot do this. A Beis Din cannot accept a ger where it is questionable whether the geiris is lishma. However, he does leave open the possibility that if a Beis Din did it, perhaps b'diavad it works. This is the famous tshuva of Rav Chaim Ozer that many people rely on in these cases. The general assumption of the more recent poskim is not to accept this tshuva. Yes, Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski was the Gadol Hador. However, there are other tshuvas we don't accept for him. For example, here in America, we don't eat gelatin. Chaim Ozer held that gelatin was kosher, even if it comes from a non-kosher animal. If you take pig bones and you make it into gelatin, nishtan, it's kosher. There are rabbanut in Israel that accept that. Minhag is that we don't. We assume that gelatin, growing up, I remember, I was modern Orthodox, you see, and which meant at that time is that you in the hashgachas, you just looked at the ingredients and everything looked okay, it was good, right? So one of the big X was gelatin. If you saw gelatin, then the party was over. Well, later you learned that, hey, we could still talk. Just to quote two tshuvas from Rav Moshe Feinstein, who probably is the posek that most of us follow. Rav Moshe has two tshuvas, both of them relatively short, where he talks about whether or not Kabbalah Sanitzis is necessary. B'meshen istabek fo terosu im ager shiklo kibalav mitzvah im nechshav ger. Pretty straight question. If a ger without Kabbalah Sanitzis is considered, pashut uborer she'eno ger klal. After the Yevid, v'chein hora Abba Mari Hagon, halacha Maisa, b'ovda kazusha eino ger klal, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. It's not even a suffix. Period. The guy is a guy. What does that mean, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra? I can be malal v'him v'ribis. I can tell him to turn on the, he can be my Shabbos guy. There's no tzad even to say that perhaps, the guy's Jewish, we should be machmir on that. And even if he says, yeah, I'm a kabbal mitzvahs, if it's clear to us, if the guy goes, walks right out and to celebrate his geiris, goes to Wendy's, we don't assume that he was makabal a minute ago, but now he's just chozer, but now he's the swell moment.
When do we, what's the measurement, the size one?
So how do you decide this? So everyone says Hakol Afiros Einei Hadayonim. All has to do with what the Dayonim think. The Dayonim have to make an opinion: is a guy for real or not? Which is what we do. You sit down with a guy and you ask him questions. And you think of every reason why the person might want to be Megayer otherwise. I've been Megayer people in YU, or people who've applied to YU, and I've said to them, "You realize you get into YU whether you're a Jew or a guy. We're non-sectarian." Because if there's a hobby and they're going to be my guy, you get to YU, which would be a very interesting thing to do. Right? That would make it a puzzle of Gavis. You have to figure out what's a basic question is, tell me a little bit about your social life. Because a call of free rose in their dime. Promotion continues. I don't understand how anyone can say otherwise. Moshe takes a very strong, no question about it, opinion that what are we gaining? These people are not considered gerim at all. It's interesting, there's a Tosfos in Yevamos that I will just end with as it's a little later. There's a lot more to say about this. The Shitas HaRambam is discussed at length. The Gemara in Yevamos on Kuf Tes, I believe, says as follows. I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak, Amud Beis. My diksiv ro yira ki ariv zar ro achara tovam lemekabli gerim. Right, bad things happen to people who accept gerim. Why? Not such a bad thing. Why? Ki reb chelbo damer reb chelbo kashim gerim lisal kesapachas baar. They're bad for us. Tosa says, what do you mean? Tosa ro achara tovam lemekabli gerim. Amari daino hechle shemasiin osam liz gayer oshem akabmo osam yad. That's only if you're trying to convince people to be Megayer, or you are Megayer them too quickly. Aval, imhimis amsim was Gayer, but these guys are free. Yeshlan lo kablam, shere matinu shenanchu avam yitzok v'yakov shol kibul v'timna, shabosal is Gayer. V'halka v'aisol p'alifas. And in fact, no, in fact, if someone really wants to be Megayer, it's a mitzvah to mekabel them. And the Gemara goes and gives, and the Tosfos gives many examples, meaning that a person has to be very careful. There are communities, namely the Syrian community, which refuses all gerim because of this. Period. Syrians do not accept gerim. Flat rule. Syrian schools will not accept children of gerim into their schools, with rare exceptions. That's also wrong. To say we're shutting down, we're not having any gerim. No, we very much, if someone is truly and honestly interested in becoming the Kadosh Baruch Hu and being makabel mitzvahs, absolutely we should do it. However, we have to make sure that preferably it should be for the right reasons. But even that, there really has to be kabbalas mitzvahs. If in the cases where people are megayer to play on the Hapoel Ramat Gan or something like that, and they never go to shul again in their life, or they go to shul once because they're told that they have to go to shul once, that's not kabbalas mitzvahs, that's not geiris. Good?
I don't think they accept Ashkenaz people to go to school or shul.